Ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Lots going on, man, in the sports world with Shea Pepler, Danny Zetterman, Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan, and you are locked on Chicago's home for sports. So, is baseball in big trouble? Could this actually be a huge negative for Major League Baseball? Robin Lake Forest, fire away, Sparky.
Hey, Sparkles, love you, love the show. Danny was so spot on in his comments earlier, man. That guy's a star, and I love his voice. And his opinions.
Danny who?
So keep going. Hey, let me tell you, I'm your age, Cap, okay? Baseball has sold its soul. That's the problem. I went to my first game in 69. I'm like the old man, okay? But guess what? In the early 70s, you could tell him, Cap, you could buy a bleacher seat for a dollar.
Yeah.
Sometimes 75 cents. In 1974, when I was 10, it was 75 cents. Okay, you could buy your way in, then you could sit anywhere you wanted because there was about 3,000 people there, and they didn't care where you sat. Okay, now these guys, baseball screwed itself in the 80s when they gave all this power to the players' union. The owners bent over for some reason, and then listening to these guys cry now, guys until 1975, they had other jobs, okay? They didn't just play baseball.
And then are you okay?
Go back to their mansions and Lake Forest. They actually had other jobs, okay? And now these guys, you think I'm going to feel sorry for Chris Bryant, who's only making $18 million a year? Figure it out, dude. It's like $120,000 a game, okay? I drive around all year. I can't make $40,000. I'm going to feel sorry for you. So baseball's got too greedy. The Cubs are greedy. They shut out WGN. No one else wanted to cover them. They can't give WGN 20 games.
No,
like making,
Rob,
not making money.
Rob, the game, and appreciate your call, man. Have a great day. The sports world, the world in general has changed. If I'd walked up to someone in 19, whatever year you mentioned, 78, and said, hey, man, your entire life's going to be on this freaking little device right here. I literally was in an Uber going to work this morning. I literally was trying to pay bills on there, answer emails, text with a buddy, listen to something on the radio on my Bluetooth headphones that don't have a cord. Like, you evolve, man. The world has changed. Chris Bryant doesn't ask you to feel bad for him, but that's the way it is today. That's how the game is. That's how the world is.
I can't. This is what's wrong with baseball sometimes. Like, things are moving. You gotta adjust. And I honestly think that's part of the reason none of this came out sooner, because no one wanted to ruffle feathers in the precious baseball world that can't be touched. Well, guess what? Your precious baseball world just got flipped upside down. People are doing things they shouldn't be. It ain't so pure anymore.
Hey, Danny, did you see we have breaking news in baseball?
Oh.
What do we got, Cap?
The Cubs and left-handed reliever Tyler Olson are in agreement on a minor league contract.
Oh, thank God. Here comes the cavalry.
If he makes the team, he gets $650,000. I mean,
that's exciting.
Here's the good news. He's only 30. He rattled off 20 scoreless innings of relief for the Indians back in 2017. Now the bad news, he hasn't come close to replicating that success in the subsequent years, says MLBTradeRumors.com. Over the past two seasons, he's only pitched 58 innings with an ERA of 4.66.
Whoop-de-doo.
Not good. Not good. Not good.
I know we have calls, but really quick. Bulls play tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They play the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their only nationally televised game of the year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, now they're going for their second win of this entire season, perhaps, with a team that's plus 500 against a team that's plus 500.
Right,
yesterday,
they're 1-16.
Yeah, no, the only team they beat that had a winning record was the Clippers.
And Kawhi Leonard didn't play.
And they were shorthanded.
Correct.
Yesterday, Larry Markin was like, yeah, we know that. We got to fix that. We don't talk about it every day, but this one's pretty important. Yeah. Nationally televised.
Yeah, and Larry Markin, who I'm a big fan of, yeah, it's time to play, kid. It's time to play. Because right now, you've looked awful. Awful. He had 35 points the opening night. And since then, he's had like two good games.
Do you agree with me or disagree? Sometimes I feel like he's too lackadaisical. I know that's kind of his vibe and his personality. And in talking to him at practice, that's kind of who he is. But sometimes it comes across that way on the court. Mm-hmm. There's no like aggression to him.
Yeah, when you watch him, you go, he's like, he's meh.
Yeah, like, here we
he's
go.
Okay.
Dribble, dribble.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Chris is in Plainfield. He's next. Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
Hey, Cap. How we doing?
Good, man.
Just
how are you?
To say first off, Shay needs to be a part of this show on a more regular basis. She's absolutely fantastic. Her perspective is fresh and new to the show.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
We love Shay.
Thank you very much, Chris.
You're welcome. I wanted to touch on, you know, taking the title away. I grew up a Louisville Cardinals fan, went there. They took our title in 2013 due to some other activities. Still, every Louisville Cardinals fan who won in 2013, Cardinals did. No question about it. Take the title away, it's still going to go down that the Astros won, even though they obviously cheated, and that's proven.
All right. Well, agree to disagree. See you, buddy. Thanks again.
You can't just have a blank spot.
Yes, you can.
Why?
Well, I'm not going to give it to the Dodgers. They didn't win, and I'm taking it away from a team that actually cheated to win.
So your grandson one day is like, why is there a blank spot here in the 2017 World Series? Well, they cheated.
Correct.
So there, no one won.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
How is that even possible? I've never seen you sit on the radio before. You just sat down.
I know.
You look hilarious.
I do 3.5 hours every day standing.
I've never seen you sit down.
I just sat down.
You must have something very serious to tell me.
Okay. You know who Lori Loughlin is?
Yes.
Okay.
Is she in jail? Is she not? All I know is she's Aunt Becky.
Yeah.
From Full House. Go on.
Or do we strip that from the records, too, because she cheated to get her daughters into school?
How stupid. No, you don't. She's always been Aunt Becky.
Hold on a second.
Oh,
yes.
Now you're going to make me mad.
Yes. Okay, her daughters finagled their way illegally into USC, allegedly. Right?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. If they were to have finished their degree and then this scandal broke, USC would have stripped them of their diploma because they didn't belong in school. So they would not have let them stay as a proud graduate. You're out. See you later. Or what if we found out that somebody plagiarized, took a test, and they got their degree and we went, well, actually, you plagiarized your way into law school. You took the LSAT. Well, we took it. We saw the results. No, actually, you cheated. You had the answers.
Cap, if someone's applying...
Sorry, take that. Gotcha.
If someone's applying to be, let's just say, on the company, on Cap and Company, mm-hmm. and it says they have a degree, mm-hmm. but you find out that their parents paid their way for them to get that degree, do you like, well, they're not college educated, they can't be on my show? No. You're like, oof, I might take a second look because they might have some cheating DNA. That would probably be the approach, but you still know that they have a college education. They still went to class. Take that.
And no. Actually, yes. No, Shay. I disagree with you 100%.
My picture removal from Instagram was a much better comparison. Thank you very much. You can't... stripping titles does nothing to teach anyone in the future of the game anything. It does nothing. It just makes you feel better.
Let's go back to the phones. 312-332-3776. Cookie in Joliet. I call people Cookie. How do you call Cookie Cookie? What's up, Crumbles?
Hello, Sunshine. How are you?
Good. How are you?
That is my nickname since I was 4 months old. So,
nice.
But anyhow, Cap, I've got a question for you, and she likes drama. How about this? George Springer from the Astros just won an arbitration case. I think he made 12.25 last year, and he just was awarded 21-something this year.
I saw that yesterday, yeah.
Do the Astros have recourse with this now, knowing that he was probably cheating with some of these signs being stolen and he hit a career-high 30 homers and 90-some RBIs and whatever? How does that something like that get settled?
I would think that they do not, Cookie, and we appreciate you calling our show and have a wonderful day, and you got a cool nickname. I would think they do not have any recourse. Plus, they don't want to upset George Springer because they like him. They want him to be on their team.
Well, then I think anyone, and I guess you could look here at Dallas Keuchel, then anyone who was involved with that organization and then has gotten paid since, you could take a step back and be like, well, do we have recourse? No. It's done.
Correct.
It's over.
The card played is the card laid.
Now, I did
hear... The card laid is the card played.
On this radio station, and I forget exactly who said it, Cap... Something along the lines of these managers who have now been let go. Let's eliminate Carlos Beltran because he hasn't really done anything yet. Mm-hmm. But like the guys like Alex Cora and AJ Hinch, okay? Would you want them as managers?
No.
Never.
I would never hire them again.
Never. And not only because of all these things that have happened, you don't even know if they're good managers and they know how to manage the game. They're too focused on how to win illegally than they were on actually managing how to play baseball. Why would you want those kinds of managers in your system? You have no clue if they're good.
I want that type of person in my system.
That too. On top of that.
So, anyway, 312-332-3776. Tim's out in Munster. Hey, Tim, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I'm glad you're talking about this subject and the severity of it. I think, you know, there's cheating in all sports. It goes on. But I think that it has to be stronger. And I like what college football used to do, where if you got caught in something, you may not be eligible to go to a bowl that next year. I think if you said the Houston Astros aren't eligible to go to the playoffs this year, they can play, but the games count. But guess what? You can't go to the playoffs. You lose the playoff revenue. And then in addition, if you take some of the shared revenue and you hit the team hard, because the ownership has to be responsible in getting the right people in-house. And more importantly, if those players look at it and say, all those Houston Astro players this year look at not being able to be in the playoffs in the World Series, then players start to police their own locker room. And they say, hey, man, if we get caught up in this, I'm on a five-year contract. I may not play in the playoffs next year. Those kind of things affect what kind of money you get. Some of these guys that have had these great playoffs, you know it turns around and comes back and they get a bigger check because of it. So, you know what? They got to do some policing inside, as well as the ownership has to be responsible and hurt from the top. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts looking at cleaning it up inside and out.
It's got to get cleaned up. Hey, man, appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, coming up 11:25, Philly Godfather will break down the two games for us this weekend, and we'll see who's ending up in the Super Bowl down in Miami with Shea Pepler, Danny Zetterman, Christopher Black. I'm David Kaplan. It's Cap and Company ESPN.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
11:17, Chicago in the First Midwest Bank Studio on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000, I'm David Kaplan with Shea Pepler. Somebody brought up a name, and I can't believe I didn't even bring this up to you.
Yes?
The prosecution will rest with this one name.
What?
Lance Armstrong. They not only banned him for life, they stripped him of every one of his titles.
That's fine, but what was more impactful?
Oh, we saw him doing riding. We saw him in the mountains. He won. How do you strip it from him? Because he was riding.
No. What was more impactful? Him getting a lifetime ban. Just like Tonya Harding.
No, because he was retiring
same thing.
Anyway.
What did they do? Gave her a lifetime ban. She won't ever skate again. More impactful.
She needs the keto diet if she wants to go skating again.
Okay.
312-332-3776.
You better move on quickly.
Joe in Worth. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Happy Friday.
You too, man.
So I heard the comment about marketing earlier, and I couldn't agree with you guys more. Sometimes I just want them to go out there and just, like, have a little bit more passion out there. I mean, get pissed off, scream, do something after you dunk. Like, but
agreed.
My question was, if you could start a franchise and you had to pick one of the two players, would you rather have Mitch Trubisky or Lauri Markkanen?
I already know which way you're going to go, Cap.
Yeah, I would rather have Mitchell Trubisky.
I thought you were, because that is a good question there, Joe, because Cap loves both Lauri Markkanen and Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah,
I would
definitely take Mitchell Trubisky.
That's a hard one. That's a good question. I don't.
I've been pulling my hair out about it.
That's a great one.
That's a really good one.
Can I use that for a poll question?
Yeah, go for it.
You're the man.
I honestly don't know.
Thanks, kid.
I don't know because I feel like the argument with Markkanen is how he hasn't developed. And as we just said, there's no aggression or passion there. And he's just kind of running up and down the floor doing what he's asked, but he doesn't really take control of the game and do what you thought he was going to do with such a high draft pick. But same with Mitch, a high draft pick who hasn't lived up to the hype and done what he's supposed to do as a leader on a team.
Black, how would you answer that?
That's hard.
Who has the higher trade value?
I don't know. Who does? Markkanen?
I think Markkanen probably does, so that's my answer.
Who would you say, Danny?
It's obvious. You start the franchise with Markkanen. You don't start the franchise with a quarterback that you're not sure is a franchise quarterback. Like, you're building a franchise around one of those two players, right? Why would you build a franchise around Mitchell Trubisky? You need to find the starting quarterback to put into that franchise. You could build a team around Lauri Markkanen and just be fine. But if you build a team around a quarterback that's not very good, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, because you could compliment Lauri Markkanen. Yeah, and it's a lot harder to compliment Mitch Trubisky's skills, especially when you have a guy like Mitch Trubisky who, let's be honest, his best asset right now is his ability to escape the pocket and run and scramble, which he hasn't been able to do much because the offensive line wasn't very good.
I have a question for you. Nate Dunworth, I love you. Thank you. Ask Shay this.
No.
If you and her made a bet on a game on TV, you won because you either fixed it or the game was a replay and she didn't know it and you knew the results, would she want her money back? Or would she say, getting my money back doesn't matter because I'll just never bet with you again?
Well, for one, you know I'd never bet with you again.
Right.
And probably would make fun of you till no end. But yeah, like if I'm being honest, I would definitely demand my money back.
Yeah,
like
let's just
like call it what it is. But that's also a very small situation compared to, I mean, we're talking about an entire sport here. We're not just talking about me and you betting in the corner at like over some stupid game that means nothing.
Yeah.
And I immediately be like, Cap, you're giving me my money back. You're embarrassing. I'm going to call you out on the radio and I'm never doing a bet with you again. Like it would be so all funny. Encompassing.
Let's go to Lewis in Hyde Park. Looking good, Lewis.
Hey, what's going on, bud? How you guys doing today?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I just want to say two things right quick regarding the baseball scandal. This is a scandal that's going to pass over, just like all other scandals, the steroid scandal and things like that. And also, I feel that they're not the only ones that's cheating. They're just the only ones that got caught. You know, same thing with steroids. It was more than just a few players. It was a lot of players throughout baseball. So, you know, them needing to be stripped, I don't agree with it. I agree with baseball where they shouldn't strip them because if you strip, you got to deal with stats. Baseball is stat heavy more than any other sport. You got to change stats, take away wins, losses, and stuff like that. So I think the punishment has been adequate and baseball is still going to continue to be big and we're going to move on from it. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, man. Have a wonderful weekend.
He makes a good point about the stats, too. Then, like, does it elevate other teams if you're removing the Astros stats?
Remember, Waddle and I had this discussion many years ago when we were working together down the dial, and it was, can you name how many yards Jim Brown ran for before Walter Payton broke the record? How many Walter ran? No. Can you name how many consecutive snaps Joe Thomas played at left tackle without a hold? No. Can you name how many points Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored? No. But you all knew 714, the amount of home runs hit by Babe Ruth, or 61 by Roger Maris, or 60 by Babe Ruth. Like, there are certain numbers in baseball, 400 hitter. Like, you know that. In the other sports, stats don't really get that type of attention.
It's true. That's fair.
So what's the number now, Cap? What's the number, the leading home run number now?
755. That would be Hank Aaron. He's well, the
that's
champ.
Factually incorrect. If you go to baseballreference.com, it's 762, Barry Bonds.
Yeah, he cheated.
Okay, but it happened.
Doesn't matter. He cheated.
But on the stat sheet,
he may as well
here,
just had a rocket launcher up his butt and fired the balls out that way.
That would be a weird way to hit home runs. But Cap, if you want to argue the stats, it's kind of generational, right? Because, like, to me, you're telling me Barry Bonds didn't play. He shouldn't be there?
No, I would never put him in the Hall of Fame ever.
Right, but on the stat sheet here, he's listed number one, Barry Bonds. He played for 22 seasons, and he hit 762 home runs.
Correct, but he cheated, so those are invalid.
But they're on the list here.
I guarantee you.
Your point was you and Waddle would talk about who's the guy and you knew the guy, but now it's muddied. The conversation's muddied because you believe one guy, I believe another guy. There are different options at play. You see what I'm saying?
Like if you walked up to my son Brett and said, Brett, all-time home run leader, he'd go, Hank Aaron. What do you mean Hank Aaron? Barry Bonds hit those home runs. No, Barry Bonds was a cheater. Bud Selig, I would bet you.
So fourth on the list doesn't count either?
Who's number four?
Alex Rodriguez.
No, he absolutely doesn't count.
696.
No, he was banned for a year for cheating.
All right, so then we get to number six.
This is all too fuzzy.
Does
it's
number
too
six
much.
Count? Does Albert Pujols count? He's number six on the list. I'm just trying to figure out which stats are the ones we're keeping going forward and which ones Cap's eliminating.
Yeah, like, see, it's tired. Like, aren't you tired?
Yes.
Like, it's too much. Like, it's too much.
It happened.
To do all this stuff. It happened. It sucks. Yeah. Like, these people are giving baseball a bad name. And honestly, they shouldn't play the sport anymore. I mean, that's it.
Shouldn't play the sport anymore. Have you lost your mind? It's like a $9 billion sport.
I know. I that was aggressive. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there should be something done that enforces the fact you shouldn't do these kinds of things.
Mike in Geneva. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
What's shaking, salt and pepper? Here's my thoughts on Trubisky.
Salt and pepper, I like that.
So Trubisky, Markkanen, Trubisky's not a championship piece unless he's holding a clipboard. Markkanen, maybe. But the reason I called is while I do think that taking away draft picks, instituting maybe even a more drastic death penalty does more to deter the cheating, why not take the championship away from him? If it doesn't mean that much, why not do it anyway? My question is, what's happening with that 2017 trophy? Where is it?
Yeah, that you could take away. Take that away. They shouldn't have that in their trophy
case.
Well,
then you're not listed as the champ. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Michael. Thank you. 312-332-3776, 1134 for Philly Godfather.
Okay.
It's 1134.
A bigger question, since I'm all about spinning things forward and looking to the future. Mm-hmm. The Mets, Red Sox, and Astros now have coaching managerial vacancies. And, I mean, it's convention weekend. We're a month away from spring training. What are they doing? I mean, how behind the eight ball are they now?
Yeah.
What are you doing to fix this mess?
Yeah, the Astros. And you know, here's the other thing. I was looking at the list that they ran on SportsCenter and on MLB Network last night of the top candidates to be the managers of the Astros, of the
Mets and Red Sox.
There's a name you didn't have listed. That name would be Ozzie Guillen. He won a flipping World Series. He's a wonderful human being. I love Ozzie. I love Ozzie Guillen.
Yeah, that's
I'm a
true.
Big. I got to know him now as a person.
Dusty Baker was on those lists.
Dusty deserves to be on that list. Mm-hmm. One of the winningest guys of all time. He's a pro. But I got to know Ozzie as a person because we worked together now at TV and have for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Ozzie Guillen is as good a dude as they come. Like, everyone has this perception because they only saw him in sound bites, Twitter, you know, being outrageous
at times.
Which
he loved.
And he loves it. But Ozzie is a great guy. Like, he is walking through our newsroom. There's not one person there that doesn't just love that guy. Like, their day gets better when Ozzie's there.
Yeah, he is.
Wani is the
warm.
Same way. Dave Wannstedt. I see these idiots on Twitter going, why would you want Dave Wannstedt as an analyst? He didn't win.
The impressions much. Today are through the roof good.
Yeah, what's you. Really
the
happening there, Cap?
The impressions are really taking a turn.
Yeah.
Dave Wannstedt is so good at his job, and I listen to these clowns that go, he didn't win big. Why would you have him as an analyst? Because he's really freaking smart and really good at analyzing football. Take that.
I appreciate a good impression. You know I do.
I know you do.
I really do. I'm actually decent at impressions.
You are. You're pretty good.
Not always appropriate, but, you know.
They're funny, though. Let's go to Mike in Beverly because he's got a bone to pick with me. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Not much, brother. Not really a bone to pick with you because I have to preface this by saying I love you. Initially, when you started, I was like, who is this guy? But you grew on me, and I love you. However,
thank you.
You do, You say looking good, Lewis. The quote is feeling looking good, Billy Ray, feeling good, Lewis.
You are right. I got to get Black to pull that. That's a great idea.
I mean, yeah. It's just a small, stupid thing.
You're right. You are right. From now on, it's going to be feeling good, Lewis, looking good, Billy Ray. Okay, got it. You're right, Mike. I love you.
Peace, brother.
See you, brother. All right, got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. You want to make some cash this weekend? The Philly Godfather's got your picks for you. He's the guy that gave out LSU before the season to win the title. He is the guy that has had a bunch of huge wins for you. He gave the San Francisco 49ers to win the Super Bowl before the season. So we'll see how he has this week handicapped. Hey, we'll be right back to ESPN.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Glenn on Twitter says, tell Shay her whiny Shirley Temple voice is awesome.
I thought he was going to make fun of me. Thank you. Cap seems to have adopted my idea of doing funny impressions. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I like that. Alex Muzzo says, he's a P1, by the way. I think the cheating scandal is good for baseball. We wouldn't be talking so much baseball on January 17th without all of this.
Thank you. My point exactly. It's not good for the actual game. It is good to generate interest.
312-332-3776. It is time to hear the picks of the weekend with our guy. He's the best, the Philly Godfather.
You are listening to David Kaplan.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
The Philly Godfather on Cap and Company.
I spend my life trying not to be careless.
The Philly Godfather on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, we are down to the conference title games, and the Philly Godfather on this show gave out the San Francisco 49ers to win the Super Bowl before the season. He gave out LSU to win the Super Bowl. I think when he gave it out, it was 40-1.
Wow.
That was way back. He's hit a number of big-time predictions, and he joins us now. All right, my man, we've got a great weekend, two awesome football games. Which one are you most excited about?
Obviously, the 49ers holding that ticket, the future on them at 28-1 to win the Super Bowl and 12-1 to win the NFC. So this game's huge, Cap.
All right, so let's start with that one. Green Bay and San Francisco, they met in the regular season and they completely just eviscerated the Packers, the Niners did, especially up front. What do you think happens this time?
Well, early on, there's been a huge concentration of sharp money in the soft early market. It started to shape them, and they played the Vegas spread here. Line opened up with the 49ers laying 7 at home over the Packers. It's been forced off that key number of 7 and kissed up to 7.5. But the total has also been on the move since the opening bell from 44.5 to 46.5. And in my opinion, it's probably going to continue to rise right up to about 47 before we see some resistance in the market at 47. When it comes to the ticket count, the books did their job here. It's basically a 50-50 split right down the middle. So, you know, the betting public and the sharp money is basically even here. When I break down championship weekend in the NFL every year, the first few things I like to look at are the quarterbacks, experience, the coaching staffs, and I like to compare the trenches. And obviously the Packers have the edge with Aaron Rodgers over Garoppolo. But when it comes to the coaching, Shanahan's just a monster. I mean, we talked about, you know, the reference point week 12 where the 49ers went in there. You know, the Packers came into San Francisco and the 49ers blew them out 38-7. But they also held Aaron Rodgers to just 3.15 yards per attempt, which was the lowest for any start in his Hall of Fame career. So this 49ers defense is lights out. They sacked him 5 times. And San Fran shut the Packers down when it counted the most in that game. Green Bay was just 1-for-15 on third downs. San Francisco also has the advantage in the trenches. Their defensive line is basically tailor-made with Nicky Bosa, DeForest, and Armstead to give Rodgers fits here. The bottom line here is I think San Francisco wins this game. But what scares me a little bit is Jimmy G's experience. It's his first start in a game of this magnitude. Aaron Rodgers' experience with 3 championship games under his belt gives them a big edge. The back door, I think, is definitely wide open for the road team here. to stay within the Vegas number. People have talked about the weak strength of schedule the Packers had this year, but they just keep finding ways to win and cashing tickets. They've outperformed the market in 65% of the games this year. They've covered the spread in 65% of the time. And they just beat and covered the spread against the Seahawks team that, to me, was one of the scariest teams in the NFL. And the Seahawks had the hardest schedule in the league this season. It's the year of the road team in the NFL, Cap. Away teams have covered the spread 56% of the time, and away dogs have cashed at an even greater clip at 58.7%. I actually expect this trend to continue with the Packers plus 7.5. So I like the Packers here plus 7.5. A small little hedge for me, too, on that 49ers ticket to win the NFC.
Anything on the total?
The weather looks great. There's no wind as of right now. It looks like 59 degrees. I'm expecting some points here. It's playoff Aaron Rodgers. I'm expecting a close game. I think the 49ers win by a field goal. If anything, I would lean towards the over.
Okay. Shay.
All right, Philly, let's go to the other game. Tennessee and Kansas City. I tend to like the home team here, too. I know the weather not as good, obviously, in Kansas City. What do you see in this one?
Yeah, it's going to be like 20, 24 degrees. It's going to be real cold.
Chilly.
Talk about a team that nobody predicted. If you did, God bless you, at the beginning of the year. I mean, the Titans were plus 600 to win the AFC South. They came one game away from doing that. They were 50-1 long shots to win the Super Bowl. They're one game away from going to Super Bowl 54. They went into Foxborough. They beat the Patriots. They outcoached Belichick. They went into Baltimore, shocked the world as 10-point dogs. They crushed Lamar Jackson, forcing two interceptions and a fumble from the league's MVP. They made the kid throw 59 times, and anyone knows who follows football that he's not going to beat you with his arm. It was just a total domination of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And this week they opened up a 7.5-point underdog to the Chiefs for the championship game. And the line to me, it doesn't make any sense. The line is actually trending downward instead of upward after Kansas City put up 51 points against Houston. I mean, some of the sharper offshore books have dropped this line down to 7. And the bet splits, if you look at the bet splits, the early ticket percentages from the guys I've talked to in Atlantic City, offshore, and in Vegas, they've all told me the same thing. All the early public money is all over Andy Reid and this big red machine, which is a little scary if you're looking to invest in the Chiefs this week, laying a touchdown or more. The stats and the metrics, on the other hand, lead you to believe there's nothing to worry about if you're looking to get down on Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City's point differential is double that of the Titans. The Chiefs obviously have the better team on paper, the better record, the better quarterback, the much more experienced head coach. I mean, they got the home field advantage here. And they've covered the spread and outperformed the market almost 70% of the time this season. I think they're 11-5 against the closing number, right around 69%. But yet, if you read between the lines, the bookmakers are telling you if this game was played on a neutral field this week, the Chiefs would only be a 4-point favorite. Woo! After totally blowing out the Texans. So, man, it's scary for me to take Kansas City here. In my opinion, the books are begging for Chiefs money here. Think about it. A team like the Titans, who only won 9 games on the season, are getting the same amount of points as the Packers, who won the division and ended up 13-3 on the season. And the look-ahead line for a 49ers-Chiefs Super Bowl would basically be a pick'em or a Kansas City -1. I like the Titans here plus the points, plus 7.5.
Wow, Titans plus 7.5 would just be unbelievable if they could deny Andy Reid, if there was a shocking win. They've got to be able to run the football, though, insanely effectively, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if they can do that in that cold weather, well, then that total to me seems a little high. I mean, it opened up 51. It's up to 53. I'm going to wait patiently. If it keeps getting higher, I might look to play the under because I think this Titans team reminds me a lot of that Eagles team from a couple years ago. You got the backup coming in there. You got a great running team. You got a bowling ball in the backfield that's knocking down pins left and right like Blount was for the Eagles. This team is very, very dangerous, and they're not scared. They went into Foxborough. They went into Baltimore, and now they're going into Kansas City, and the books are begging for Chiefs money. I got to like the Titans here.
I love it, Philly.
All right, so the play is Tennessee plus 7.5. The play is Green Bay plus the 7.5. Smaller play on the over 46 in the other game. Let that number keep going up, and you might take a small bite at the under.
Yeah, and I like all the teasers. I mean, I think every teaser has a shot of covering. You can buy these teams down to a pick 'em, basically, Kansas City and San Francisco, and then you can take Tennessee at plus 14 with maybe a San Francisco teaser. I mean, it's teaser weekend here.
Teaser weekend. Love it. All right, any basketball that our fine listeners should be looking at this weekend?
The only game we bet was the over in the Yale game tonight, game 863, 864. We went over 133, Browns playing Yale. And that's about it. That's all we did so far. That's all we fired.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you before the Super Bowl. We look forward to it.
Good luck, guys. And cheering those 49ers. I need it. I got two kids in college.
God bless you. Go get them.
Thanks, Philly. See ya.
We'll see ya. That's our guy.
I'm telling you. I like the Titans, too. I've rode that bandwagon from the beginning.
You think
and
they
you
win
know,
the game outright?
That is, I don't know about outright.
I would play them with the points, probably.
I just think they're going to keep it real close. I don't care. Everyone knows the game plan, and they are still fooling people.
You're getting me to think it.
That weather's bad. The ground game.
I got to stick with my initial gut. I'm going Kansas City and San Francisco. They both cover.
I like the both home teams, too. I really do. But I'm telling you, the Titans, I don't know why I jump off now. Like, they have a ground game in that weather in Kansas City. And he's right. They've got nothing to lose. They are not afraid. They've gone into these stadiums and just been like, what's up now? And what gives you reason that they're not going to do that against Andy Reid? And they're hot at the right time. And Ryan Tannehill is playing lights out. He doesn't even throw for over 100 yards in a game, and he still makes those big plays that create momentum and juice. I mean, they're just, I don't know. I don't know that they can win outright, but I think it's going to be very close. When we went into the show, and you're like, I think they're going to win by 14 points. The Chiefs are. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I said 10-14. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, the Carmen and Yurko show is coming up at the top of the hour. And then you've got the Waddle and Sylvie show. And tonight you've got Jay Hood and Chris Black working together. Looking nice. Forward to that, Black.
Yes, sir.
Black's a hard worker, man.
7 to 9.
Guy's in here yesterday, 6:45, cranking away on audio. Then he does our show. And then he runs the board for the Carmen and Yurko show. He goes and gets something to eat, goes for a run, comes back and does 3 hours with Abdallah last night. He's right back here at 6:45.
You know what they say. You know what they say. Just keep cranking away, Cap.
just keep grinding, brother.
We're going to keep grinding, brother.
That's it. That's Black.
It's true.
That's it.
Good, Black.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take a quick timeout. We will come back on ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
On ESPN.com right now, written by June Lee. That is a guy. J-O-O-N Lee. June Lee writes an article on a guy named John Boy. John Boy is actually Jimmy O'Brien. And he tells the story of how this guy, just a guy named Jimmy O'Brien, was sitting in his new apartment in Harlem waiting for 5 Verizon workers to finish setting up his cable internet. Allegations had broken in The Athletic from Mike Fier's interview that the Astros had stolen signs. John Boy said, I decided to use my cell phone as a hotspot and began scouring quickly the MLB.TV archives. He was far from the only one to track down then Chicago White Sox reliever Danny Farquhar's now infamous 2017 appearance in Houston. But within 2 hours, he had pulled videos demonstrating the banging on a garbage can, added his voiceover commentary, tweeted it out, and he says to his girlfriend, as his phone started to buzz from an influx of Twitter notifications, he called her and said, I think I opened a can of worms.
Yeah, that he did. That one, that was like the video that outed him, right? And yep. MLB said, we better investigate this.
Better take a look at this.
Danny Farquhar and Kevin Smith knew what was going on. And it sounds like most of the league did.
Yeah, everyone knew what was going on, apparently.
How about this? It's a great article.
At some point, I'm telling you, we're going to keep finding out more and more teams have tried these elaborate schemes to
Do
cheat.
Do you think, though, because I feel like, yes, we're going to find out more and more about cheating going on in Major League Baseball, but I just feel like, was everyone doing it at the level the Astros were?
No, really? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Come on.
Some may have been doing it better, and some may have been doing it worse.
Yeah. They sound like they were doing it pretty well.
How about the Blackjack McDowell stuff?
Yeah, Blackjack McDowell saying that they had it at Comiskey way back in the 80s under La Russa. Look, Ralph Branca went to his deathbed insisting, and most of the Brooklyn Dodgers, insisting that Bobby Thompson knew and that the Giants all season had an elaborate system where a scout was out in center field with binoculars and they were somehow relaying.
And there was a light.
There was a light on the scoreboard.
And if the light was on, it was one pitch.
Exactly.
If it was off, it was off.
This is in the 1950s, yes. People. Like, don't think that it hasn't always happened or that teams haven't always tried. Always.
To gain an advantage.
When you start saying they need to strip titles, that's hard to do because are we going to retroactively go back and find every team that cheated and take titles away? You really can't do that.
The results stand.
It's disappointing. It's upsetting. You've got to deal with it if it's your team. It's at some point here, you might find out your team was cheating. And you're going to have to live with that one way or another.
But it's the level of cheating.
I get it.
Wow. And cheating, though.
And maybe MLB was too quick to absolve the players. I don't know what they would have done. You can't suspend an entire team.
The problem is to get cooperation, you have to go ahead and do it. You can ask them. I don't know a thing you're talking about. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no memory. What kind of investigation is being run if nobody's being honest?
It's like Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Thank you.
No, I have no recollection of that.
Exactly.
No, I have no recollection.
After the September 15th, 2017, where he laid down the law and said, you are responsible. The players I'm not going to hold responsible. You need to uphold the rules of the game. And he put that upon management. That's it. You can't go back and say, oh, well, we had agreed to this and we had talked to that and we said it was absolutely the way it's going to be. But now we're going to decide to do it a different way. That doesn't work.
And now maybe they were wearing buzzers.
Band-aids. And he blamed, you know what I was arguing about earlier? He blamed his wife.
He threw his wife under the bus.
What is that?
My wife says I can't take my shirt off.
Right.
She was embarrassed by it.
She doesn't want me to. We replayed it. And he's like, it's my wife.
Yeah, because things can,
your wife.
Because things can be digitally altered, it's hard to believe any pictures that people have that they take and they show a little bit of bump on the right shoulder. Because things can be messed with so many times.
I know. You wonder if it's authentic.
I can't.
If it's authentic.
Unless it's the real authentic picture on print, an original. That can't be doctored. You can't believe anything you see on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
I like that scene in Wolf of Wall Street.
It's great. Goes,
do you remember talking to a Kathy O'Reilly?
No.
Yeah, Kathy O'Reilly.
No.
What was her name again?
No, I have no recollection. I'll tell you, pictures can be altered,
but video really can't.
I have a low blood sugar.
Oh, you didn't see the movie with Sean Connery?
Sean Connery.
That's
remember
a good Sean Connery, Shay?
Yeah,
good work.
The Sean Connery video. I mean, the movie where they did alter the video to show it was a different person entering the boardroom that night.
What is this movie?
I'll find it. I'll look up Sean Connery's IMDb.
What are you talking about?
No, video can
the
be
greatest
altered.
Sean Connery impersonation is when he's talking
Risen
to Nick Cage
something.
In The Rising Sun.
No.
Yes. Oh, Rising Sun.
Rising Sun. That movie, the video was taken.
That's right.
Which one in The Rock?
There you go.
He says, you're bashed. Losers always whine about their bashed. Winners go home and blank the prom queen.
Yeah.
The best. Right.
Just do that Sean Connery line.
We can't go wrong. We just adopted a new dog.
Yeah. Did you name it Sean Connery?
No, my wife, not to name this dog, Stanley Goodspeed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. She's a big fan of The Rock.
It's her favorite movie of all time.
Stanley Goodspeed.
Hey, we are hard-hitting. We are suspense. We are the Wolves. It's rivalry week at Allstate Arena as Chicago Wolves take on the Milwaukee Admirals this Saturday and the Rockford Ice Hogs this Sunday. Come check out the Wolves in person against the rivals. Go to ChicagoWolves.com for tickets.
You know who deserves a tip of the cap, by the way? I don't know if you guys follow White Sox Dave, Barstool White Sox Dave, who I like.
Can't say I do.
This is from October 16th of 2018. Mm-hmm. He tweeted, this is during the series between the Astros and the Red Sox.
Red Sox
manager Alex Cora was the bench coach for the Astros last year. Every pitch the Red Sox have thrown in the series, they've used multiple signs, even with nobody on base. That's a hell of a catch by White Sox Dave in October of 2018.
What did he say? Yeah, read it one more time.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora was the bench coach last year for the Astros. Every pitch the Bo Sox have thrown in the series, they've used multiple signs, even with nobody on base.
Wow.
It's a hell of a catch by Dave. A hell of a catch. This is a year and a half ago.
That's pretty good.
So he deserves a tip of the cap. And there are people then that are responding back then in the chain. Wow, if proven, MLB is going to come down pretty hard. Loss of draft picks and prospects.
This is during the series in 18,
before the Red Sox won the World Series when they were playing the Astros.
Don't you feel that the Major League Baseball, though, we all have to agree on this, kind of turned a blind eye, like, yeah, whatever. They're winning World Series. It's a good story. Like, I've heard things, but we're just going to not really look
into it. I don't think so, because they, like in 17, Rob Manfred sent that memo out.
After investing a smart... Oh, no!
Well, but
a memo?
He fined the Yankees and the Red Sox, and he said, you cannot use electronic equipment.
Right. So at least at that point, he put a floor out there, a baseline, and said, here we are. Now it can't be utilized. If there was no rule out there that said that couldn't be done, now you know it can't be done. And from now on, they've taken a look at it. Now
I don't think they were very complicit in all this.
I think they would prefer this not happen, that nobody would have brought it up, and they could have just moved on into spring training and everything would have been fine. Yes, I think they would prefer that.
I think there was a lot of look the other way situations going on. Considering how much is now coming out, how many people knew, how many people were onto this, how many people had questions. Come on.
I think they were hoping that they would adhere to the rules.
I think so.
And the lack of adherence now has cost a lot of people jobs.
It's cost and more money. People their job for now. Yeah.
And money.
That's it.
Maybe more. So who would you hire?
Three managers, right?
Three managers and
two GMs.
And two, an assistant GM and a GM. Yeah. That's five.
If you were, but the other assistant GM.
Well, he was already out of a job.
He was out of a job for sexual harassment.
Promote from within.
You would promote from within.
Promote from within.
Yeah, I would hire a steady hand.
Joe Espada? Oh, you mean what would the Astros do right now?
Or the Mets or the Red Sox. I would hire a steady hand who's been there. Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Ozzie Guillen. Dusty Baker. Somebody like that.
Sounds like Will Venable's going to get an interview.
An interview.
Astros, right?
Venables, Again, I would stay within the
program. Why would you hire from within the program that's cheating?
I would hire from within, tell the guy you've got 1 year. You're going to take it over for a year. Then I'd do my coaching managerial search and try to see exactly what I want.
Didn't Bruce Bochy just retire, though?
He wants to manage.
He does want to manage?
He does.
Wow.
Ozzie wants to manage.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's been away from it for a
Ozzie
while.
Ozzie Sr.
He lives a good life, Ozzie. Why do you want to manage again?
Because he's got the itch.
They pay you about $4 million a year.
Ozzie's got the itch, though. Why not?
He's got such a good, he's got a great right now.
Maybe he doesn't want to do baseball games on ESPN Deportes.
By the way, go back and check out some of the John Boy stuff in this article. He has one on George Springer. You can hear the bang on an 0-2 pitch, and he hits it out. He goes, ha-ha, listen to this one. Springer homers on an 0-2 pitch.
I can't believe.
Bregman down 0-2, gets two off-speed pitches that come with the bang, spits on the first, homers on the second.
Crazy,
all right, we got to get out of here.
Kyle Long's coming up.
Looking forward to it.
2 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Kyle.
All right, looking forward to it.
Have a good weekend,
Shay,
guys.
Have a great weekend.
See you. Thank you.
York. We will see you Peace Monday out. On ESPN 1000 Chicago's home for sports.